Okay, turn please to Psalm 119 as we continue our study on how to study the Word of God. Psalm 119. Even though it's been quite a number of weeks. I have my monogram socks on tonight, so my self-esteem is very high. If you want to see them when I'm in the back, just ask on the way out. Okay? I'm not making any public demonstrations, but I will privately show off these beautiful socks. And as a matter of fact, you know, I had gotten three pair, and all three pair were in my drawer tonight for the first time since I gotten them. And, you know, so I really am feeling good about that. And I just took some brand new natural corpse syrup before I got up here, so I wouldn't have any problem at all. I guess natural corpse syrup as opposed to unnatural corpse syrup. So if I cough, it'll be a natural cough. But hopefully, with all the stuff I've been taking, it may not be too bad. All right, Psalm 119, verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful; therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light; it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God, and Thy testimonies are wonderful. The testimonies is one of the terms that's used in Psalm 119, referring to the Word of God. And the entrance of thy words giveth light. So when we're studying the Word of God, it does give us light. We're at the point now in our study of how to study the Word of God. We said get the right tools. And of course, the first one is the Bible. You read Psalm 119 and you know that the Bible is everything. And it is the one most important thing that you have. And if you have that, actually you have enough. However, there's no doubt that there are some helpful things along the way. Other people have categorized things in the way you would like to have them categorized, or would have had to do them yourself if they hadn't done the work. So we'll get into that. We looked at last time the Bible and the different types of Bible that we thought might be suitable, and I've brought along some things with me tonight. So I have two different places I could give you the name of that if you want to send away. They have both books and the Bible. One is CBD, I think, in Massachusetts. And the other one is a Sunset Bookstore in Texas. That's where I got my Bible, and that had the best price for the type of Bible I had. And I'm sure if you write to those places, they will send you their lists of books. All right, so the Bible is number one, and after what I'll do is I'm going to show you some of these things, but after we're done tonight, I'll have this back at the desk, and on your way out, if there are some things here that you would like to look at or take down information, you can do that. All right, the Bible. The author of the book that I'm following in this study, the next thing he recommends after he recommends certain kind of a Bible is, he says, you know, get a couple modern versions. That's the line that everybody gives in our time. But perhaps you can understand this. There are some places that some of these modern versions that I'm against, that they do very well in translating from the Greek. And it's possible that in a number of places they might make it more understandable to the English reader and still maintain accuracy. I believe there are places like that. However, because The Greek text that they use is different, and because the omissions in those texts have such doctrinal consequences, terrible doctrinal consequences as far as I'm concerned, I certainly don't trust them. If they get wrong on important doctrinal matters, then I don't trust. It's just like a preacher who's not saved. I mean, he might say a lot of things that are right, but I don't trust him because you're going to have to watch yourself to find out when he's wrong. So I just don't trust any of those versions, and I don't bother with them. I mean, I got all kinds of versions in my study, and mostly have been given to me by people who got saved or got right with the Lord and repented and gave it to me, you know. And so I appreciate having it, because if I want to illustrate what's wrong with it, I then go and look it up and show. But I don't ever use them. And just think about that. I've been able to study the Bible and preach all these sermons for over 20 years without having to use one of those books. Besides that, when I was a young man, I met many people in the Plymouth Brethren assemblies, and you know, they had one Bible. And they didn't know anything about Greek, but they had one Bible. And the one Bible they had was the Scofield King James Bible. And you know what? They knew that thing backward and forward. And they didn't complain that they couldn't understand it. They didn't complain that they needed some modern version. There's nobody I ever saw walking around saying, "Boy, I wish we could get something in a modern version so we could read and understand this." You know, and they went along and they won the lost. And they lived separated lives and they kept the church separated. And in my estimation, they did a whole lot better in their Christian life than people who are today walking around with those modern versions. Kind of funny, isn't it? I have a feeling their brain probably wasn't any smarter than ours. It wasn't probably any smarter, probably wasn't any dumber than our brain. And it was just soaked up with the King James Bible. And when you are permeated with just this one book, it's a powerful thing in your life. Just this one book. So I don't recommend getting any other ones to check and see what they say, because I think the best thing we can say about those other versions is not to trust them. All right, the next thing that you need, now I'm going to start listing the other helps, is concordance. I mentioned that before. You have Strong's and Young's. I did not bring a concordance because I think you are familiar with what a concordance is, and it's a very, very valuable tool to have, because if you think of a word, you can look that word up in a concordance, and then it tells you where all the rest of that word is listed, and that's always a help in studying your Bible. Another thing that you could have is a Bible dictionary or a Bible encyclopedia. This can be very, very helpful. Now, I did bring one of these along, and it's the real ancient version. You might not want to look for this one. This is Pelopets, or the French pronunciation, Pelou. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but this was stolen from my father-in-law, and I thank him for it. At any rate, it's I think this is my father-in-law's. Anyway, this is. And give you an idea how this helps you. You're going along in the Word of God, and you see the term dulcimer. You know how you see that in Daniel. You know when they're supposed to bow down when they hear all of these instruments, and so then you just go to your Bible dictionary, and the Bible dictionary says dulcimer. a musical instrument mentioned in Daniel 3. Probably the bagpipe. Same instrument is still in use among peasants in the northwest of Asia and in southern Europe, where it is known by a similar name. Okay, so then that gives you an idea, because you look at it, you see dulcimer, you don't recognize it. You look it up, and that helps you understand that it was probably a bagpipe. That is a Bible dictionary. They have Smith's Bible Dictionary, I think, is one that's pretty good. And when you come to Bible encyclopedias, a Bible encyclopedia is just like a Bible dictionary, only it's a whole lot bigger. In other words, if you looked up dulcimer, it might give you, a whole article on it, where it came from, when it was first noticed, and who used it, and, a whole article like that. And in many areas, that can be of some help to you. I think the first thing you want to do, if you want to get one of these things, get a Bible dictionary. Now, when I'm giving you all of these things tonight, don't think you've got to go out and buy every one of them right away. You might want to buy one of them, find yourself using them, and then say, well, I could use something else. And well, down the line, buy that something else as you go. So Bible encyclopedias, I wouldn't rush out to buy a Bible encyclopedia. They're fairly expensive. And when you can get one, pretty good. They have one now called the Zondervan's Pictorial. And it sounds like it's nice to me. It's probably quite good. I have one they call the ISBE, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. And, even that's been helpful over the years, and there's loads of guys in there aren't even believers that, explain whatever their subject is. And you say, well, how can you enjoy that? I never enjoy that, but when they tell you and it jives with everything else, you say, hey, it has to be true. Even the unbelievers are saying, this is the way it is. So I wouldn't go out and get that one. The Zondervan Pictorial is probably pretty good, but I would think they are a little bit expensive. All right, so we got concordance, Bible dictionary, and then next I have topical Bible. And I suggest you get Knaves and you get the big one. Why get the small one? Get the big one. Because you want everything. Now I have one here. This is not a Knaves. What I did is I brought small things tonight so I could carry them, because these are big and they're heavy. And it's not that I couldn't carry the weight in. It's just that case that I have has the kind of handle that could go, when the maximum load was too much. And so I tried to bring small things with me. This is called the New Topical Textbook. It's the Billy Graham Crusade Edition. Some repentant person passed it on to me. I appreciate that. So I could illustrate anyway, because I couldn't find my small Knaves, and I couldn't find my large Knaves. I think they're in the same place as my socks have been. But I'm glad some of my family are using my Knaves. But that's a good one. Anyway, this is a topical Bible is really quite good, and I suspect there are some preachers, Billy Graham among them, that get their messages right out of the topical Bible, because it's the easiest way to do it. Let's say I've got something here. You have a topic. This topic is happiness of the wicked. And then this is what's listed under it. Is limited to this life, Psalm 17, Luke 16. Is short, Job 20, verse 5. Is uncertain, Luke 12, 20. Is vain. Is derived from their wealth, Job 21. Their power, Job 21. Their worldly prosperity, Psalm 17, from gluttony, drunkenness, vain pleasure, and it gives you a reference for each of those. So as you go along and you have a subject that you want to look up, here's another one. I'm just looking through music. And so you can, if you have Knave's large one, and you look up music, it'll give you every reference in the Word of God on music. Early in invention of, divided into, designed to promote joy, vanity of all unsanctified, considered efficacious in mental disorders. Every single one I read to you there had a listing of one or more scriptures in which that subject matter was given. So it's a very interesting book to have, and it can help you in your Bible study. Judgments. You know, and they go through, are from God, different kinds of enemies, famine. You know what I just thought of? This is slightly off the subject. I thought I'd like to look up hell. Being Billy Graham doesn't believe that it's a real place of torture. I wonder, you see, you know, you're going to have to wonder what the Crusade edition would look like. It says, hell, the place of disembodied spirits. It says, which Christ visited. I don't believe that. Contains a place of rest. Paradise. A place of torment. Luke 16:23. He doesn't believe that. A place of future punishment. Described as everlasting punishment, everlasting fire, everlasting burnings, a furnace of fire, a lake of fire, fire and brimstone, unquenchable fire, devoured fire. All of these have references. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I guess that's one place that he didn't use his Knave's topical Bible. Alright, that's topical Bibles. We've gone through concordance, Bible dictionaries, Bible encyclopedia, topical Bible. If you get it, get the large edition so you know you've got every one. I think you'd want that, to know you had every scripture. On the other hand, you know, maybe you'd find that there was too much stuff there for you in the big one, and this one, and a one of this size. Knave's has a smaller size. I have them both. Would give you the basic things. But I find that a lot of times I'm looking for something a little bit more obscure, and you always need the bigger one. All right, then the next thing I have is Bible handbooks. And this is mighty old, but they still publish this, and folks have liked this. This is called Haley's or Halley's. I don't never know. No, this is not. It's Unger's. Okay, I used to have Haley's or Halley's, but now I have Unger's. And Unger is a very fine scholar. This book here goes all the way through the Bible, tells you what's in every chapter of the Bible. For instance, in Genesis, it talks about the that's the city Abraham came from, what it was like in Abraham's day. And it's just got tons and tons of information. And it'll tell you, for instance, it gives you just a little bit. Here's the chapter 26 of Genesis. And it'll say the Abrahamic covenant confirmed, 1 through 5, experience at Gerar, 6 through 11. Isaac the well digger, but let me just, this is how much it gives you for 5 or 6 verses. There Isaac failed as his father had done. Gerar was southeast of Gaza and Philistine. You know, so it doesn't give you in depth, but it takes you through. He's got pictures in here. He has also the a little section on what the Apocrypha is all about, and the books of the Apocrypha and what's in them, but takes you through every chapter of the Bible and gives, you know, a great deal of very interesting information. Here in when you're studying Galatians, you've got a map of Galatia and its relationship to, Lydia and the Black Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and so forth. So these are not greatly expensive, but there's a lot of information in a book like that. Do I use a book like this? Practically never. But when I was a young man, and it was one of the few things I had, I certainly went to this book, and it's very enjoyable. It's the kind of book that you can thumb through and look at a lot of things and enjoy reading about it, because it gives you a lot of information on a lot of biblical things. This Bible handbook. Next, we have word studies, and the good word studies are Vine's Expository Dictionary, I think, of New Testament words, I think is what it's called. And in the Old Testament, quite a big volume and excellent volume is Wilson's Old Testament Word Studies. To me, these are just excellent, excellent things to have. You know, maybe after a concordance, you might want to get one. I have one in front of me here. And again, I didn't bring either of the ones that I recommended. I brought something very small so it wouldn't take up space, because the ones I recommended are very good size and very heavy. But this one's called An Expository Dictionary of Old Testament Words by Vine, and it's good, but it's much shorter, so it doesn't have as much information in it as Wilson has in his word study. Wilson's word study's as big as one of those big concordances, if you know what those sizes are. Now, where this helps you is you're reading along, you're reading along, and suddenly you see a word, and you say, I wonder what that word means. And especially, what did that word mean? What exactly did it mean in its original language? You don't know the original language, and you don't have to. So you just get this and look up the word. Here's a word some people wonder about this time of year. So this is a word that you'd find in the New Testament, but it's also found in the Old Testament. As soon as you hear it, you'll think of it in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, I'm talking about the word frankincense. You want to know about frankincense? Well, he's got a little write-up on it here. He says the Hebrew word is, and then he names what it is, means to be white and denotes a glittering vegetable resin used for burning at sacrifices. It was imported from Arabia and was obtained by incision in the bark of a tree. It was mingled with other perfumes, as in a Song of Solomon. Frankincense symbolizes prayer accepted with the God. The time of the offering of incense, morning or evening, was the time of a prayer. So there he gives you a rundown. When you just see the word, you don't know what it means, you look it up. And here's another one that our song leader mentioned recently, Ebenezer. And he tells you what it is. This place name, which means stone of help, is mentioned three times in 1 Samuel, the scene of the defeat of Israel by the Philistines, and so forth. So these are excellent to have, because there are any number of places when you get into the Word of God and you're reading the Word and you may not completely understand what that word means. And if you went to your dictionary, if you went to your English dictionary, you could probably get an understanding of it. However, you know that in that English dictionary, there might be five different uses of that word. And one might be more appropriate than the other, and you wouldn't know exactly which one it was. And what happens is that the fellows that write these, they've already done that for you. They've done that study for you. So you look it up, and that can open up your understanding, and that's helpful. So that's Expository Dictionary, either Vine's or Wilson's. Would help you. Okay, the last thing that I want to bring to your attention tonight is commentaries. I don't know that the commentary, maybe I better explain what a commentary is. When you read a verse in Holy Scripture, you can turn to a commentary and have that fella tell you what that verse means. Or at least what they think it means. I don't think that's something you have to go right out and buy. And a matter of fact, when you get around, if you want to buy commentaries and you want to buy sets of commentaries, you know, you should check with me or you check with Chet Coolis or somebody like that as to what ones are good and, you know, what they're like. A lot of commentaries were written years ago by Calvinists and men who did not understand dispensationalism. And so they might not be as valuable to you. I'll tell you the first two works that I recommend to people when they want to have more written up on the Bible is number one is the Annotated Bible. That's done by a man by the name of Gabelein, and it's excellent. It's dispensational, but it's in four volumes. Now the whole Bible is in four volumes. Now you can get the whole Bible in 26 volumes, so you understand that he doesn't write up every verse, but he covers it all. And he may not cover every little knotty problem, but he gives you a good understanding of every chapter and what it's about. It's an excellent commentary in four volumes. And then there's a one volume that I think it's good for people to have, and it's called Things to Come by Pentecost. And that's about prophecy. But prophecy takes up about one-third of the Bible as it is. And it has all kinds of things to come, has all kinds of listing. You don't have to read it. It's not a book you have to read. It's a book that if you're looking at a verse and you say, you know, maybe this is a prophetic verse or maybe this is a verse I don't understand. I don't know how this fits in. I don't get it. You go to your things to come. He's got a listing of every verse that's in his things to come. You look up the verse, you find the verse, you turn to the chapter where it is. There's a paragraph that talks about that verse, and that might help you understand a part of the Word of God. So that is it's an excellent book to have. You know, it's probably in the $15 to $20 area, but it's an excellent book to have. I'll give you some names of men, if you want to list down these men who that you can, are quite trustworthy and very helpful in their commentaries. Leon Wood is very, very good. Ironside has done, I don't know, he may have done the whole Bible. If not, he's done a lot of them. And he is excellent. He was a great man of God, loved the Lord, understood the Word of God. Ironside is very good commentary. And if you run into seminary people, you know, they think guys like Ironside, you know, that's for the simple-minded. But they're the ones that are simple-minded because Ironside knew it and could tell you in a few words what they might take, you know, pages and pages and pages to come out with the same exact thing. And the same thing can be said about John R. Rice. When you read John R. Rice's books, you look at him and he sounds very, very simple. And to me, that's what made him great. Because when you read his commentary on certain things, it said, oh, it seems so simple. And I remember learning this lesson a long time ago. Because I read, there was some complex subject that I was studying and looking into, and I read his, and there he had a paragraph on it. And then I read these other guys that did pages and pages and pages on it, and they came to the same conclusions. He just said it a whole lot simpler. And so, you know, that never goes big with seminary students to say it a whole lot simpler. But for the rest of us, I think that that's excellent. Dr. John R. Rice's commentaries, I think, are quite good. Dr. Morris. Dr. Morris has wonderful commentaries on Genesis and Revelation, maybe on Job is a recent one. I don't have it. I have Genesis and Revelation. He's got excellent ones. A fellow by the name of William R. Newell has wonderful commentaries on Hebrews and Romans. Excellent. When you read William R. Newell, you feel the love of Jesus coming through, you know? It's really terrific. And that's good in a commentary, because commentaries tend to be very, you know, diagnosing everything and coming across that way. But Newell's comes through with the love of the Lord. So those are a number. But what I would suggest is, don't let this long list that I just gave you discourage you. Your Bible is enough. If you can't afford to go out and get any of these, just, you know, you can still study your Bible with your pen and your notebook, and then go and pick up others along the way as you get an opportunity. One thing that might be helpful is, if you go, if you study the book that I'm preaching on, you might find that helpful. Now, I don't cover everything. I mean, I couldn't do that. I'd stay in the book forever. And there's loads of things in the Word of God that we want to cover. However, I would hope that I would cover some of your questions as I went along and help you to understand that book a little bit better. It looks like, you know, we might get in a little bit into Lamentations, or we'll go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I think, is the hardest book in the Bible. And therefore, I might have to skip it, you know. I don't know. No, but I'm planning on doing Ezekiel nevertheless. And, you know, so, in fact, whether I get to that this week, you know, and with the holidays coming up and everything, I don't know when I'll get to it. But I probably will. So if you said, well, I want to study along with him and see if he's getting this stuff right, you know. But don't be like the girl that came to me after she took Pastor Brooks' course on Greek for 2 months and started telling me what the Bible meant. And, you know, it's in the Greek, it's this and this and this and this. I said, well, you know, how long have you had Greek? You know, 2 months, you know. Oh, yeah, you're doing just great. You know, maybe you want to go out and get a good commentary on Ezekiel. If you get one, let me know. There's not a whole lot of them, because as I told you, I think it's the hardest book in the Bible. But you might want to get a commentary on that, and then go through it. And doing all those things and searching things like that would be a lot of help to you. All right, I'm done with that much now, and if you have any of the men have a question about any of these things, you can ask me right now before I close in prayer. And then when I'm I'll have all of these books at the back. I might also add that I brought some other things with me tonight. I brought the address of Ambassador Baptist College. And well, maybe that's all. Okay. So if you want any of those things that I mentioned, you know, see me when we're done tonight. When the service is all done, I'll stand at the back near the desk. You can come in and ask me any questions, something you missed in the note. I'll try to fill you in and help you out. Any question? No question. Father, we come before thee now, and we pray, Lord, that these things that we have brought before folks will help, and that we might have a desire to study the Word of God, to know thee better. We pray thy blessing upon us now as we continue our service in Jesus' name. Amen.